Hey, I'm Ralph from Mousesports, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 105, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, May 16th, 2018. The time, 7:37 Central Standard Time. I will be one of your hosts for this evening. Hello, my name is Tim. How are you? Joining me, as always, is the regular crew today. We have Brett. Hello, Brett.
What's up, guys?
Hello.
Hello.
We have Anuj. Hello.
What's up, fam? How y'all doing?
How are you, gentlemen?
Good.
Living the life, man.
Yeah, a little sleepy, but I'll get over it. I'll get over the hump.
Sound sleepy.
Yeah.
Was the second
or
kid
stoned.
Worth it? Was
one
the second
two.
Kid?
Was it worth it?
Yeah.
Oh, totally. I love my kids. All of them.
Dude, they won't even hear this. They're gonna like 7, 8.
Probably not. No. Yeah. Will Twitch still be a thing when they're older? I don't know.
It'll be no. Facebook.
Oh, yeah, maybe Facebook.
They'll be streaming on Facebook Live. This is possibly the best episode ever, because we have e-news as always. It's actually a very light e-news day, which is not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. We want to get into a discussion later on in the show. What is esports missing? I have a friend at work who, I guess he's got money, because he's always asking me about investing in esports, right? Like, how can he invest in esports? And he asked me over the weekend, what is esports missing? And that actually kind of stayed with me. I thought that was a pretty good question, and I want to discuss that with you gentlemen. We'll update you a little bit on ESL Pro League, what's going on there, who is sent home, who's made the playoffs, just a little bit there, not a whole lot. But to start the show off, it's going on right now as we speak, but that won't stop us from covering it, because, you know, nothing gets by us, is Overwatch League Stage 4. It actually started today. Right now you have the LA Gladiators and San Francisco game still going on?
It
just ended. Yeah. LA ended up winning. Okay.
Yep.
It just started today, and as always, when you get a new stage in Overwatch League, there's always new meta, because they've kind of fast-forwarded it now to a recent patch or one of a recent patch going on. So you kind of get a shift in how teams play a little bit. Okay? So some things I wanted to start. First thing in Stage 4, and this was announced, what, Brett? Only like 2 days ago, like officially announced.
Right.
Okay. So it was announced by Blizzard that Stage 4 will be played on patch 1.22, where currently the live patch on Overwatch that, you know, like you and I play is 1.23. Now, you would think, okay, that's not a huge deal. Like, it's just, you know, one patch behind, which Overwatch League has done before, right? It was a big thing with Mercy, where they nerfed Mercy, but then they were still playing on the old patch for the longest time, because they don't switch mid-stage, they don't do anything like that. They want to give the players a fair shot.
It's a little over a month of them playing on the old patch that everyone else isn't even playing on anymore.
You're right.
It's like you're not even watching the same game, well, not even playing the same game anymore.
And Brigitte, or Brigetta, or Bridget, or, you know, insert however you want to say her name.
They're all saying it differently
and they're all correct.
Yes,
they're all correct.
Yeah, everyone's
so
right.
With her, you know, she was in the game for a solid month or two, and now you're just seeing her being able to be played in the Overwatch League. The big deal, though, with 1.22 being played for Stage 4 is because right after that, they released 1.23, which nerfed Brigetta. Okay, so her stun was not a 90-degree angle. They kind of made it a little smaller. She's not as versatile, I guess is the word you want to say. But the big thing there was Hanzo, right? It was the big Hanzo rework. They got rid of Scatter Arrow because, you know, Nazis created that, and we can't have that anymore. And they gave him, what's it, like Storm Arrow? Whatever.
It's pretty much like, like a rapid shot.
Yeah, he shoots six rapid shots.
That you can shoot individually. So, yeah. I mean, it just makes him,
You know, so whatever. I'm not here to debate whether or not that's still a ridiculous ability, but so be it. It's there. The reason, though, and people got really up in arms that they announced that they're playing this stage on what is essentially a old version of the game, and not even like just a couple nerfs or buffs here and there. It's going to be completely different from what we play on, because basically Hanzo's pick rate is through the roof right now because he's really ridiculous with the rapid fire. He's just a lot more accessible for players.
Right.
But as upset as I am about it, I understand Overwatch League's and Blizzard's logic for this, because the reason they're playing on an older patch is because with 1.23, there was a game-breaking bug that doesn't happen all the time, but it happens enough to where they don't want to risk it in a professional match. And that's where, if you're playing on a payload and you're moving the payload, if the game pauses for whatever reason, which I don't think happened, like, unless you're in like a custom game, it doesn't happen as much, but obviously in a pro league match, they can pause, that there's a bug where the payload will, like, you won't be able to move it after you unpause it. So it's this minor bug, but if it happens, you basically have to restart the match.
Yeah, it'd be game-breaking at that point.
Yeah, like, what do you do?
You said they won't change, like, they won't make the change mid-stage.
Yeah, they will not do it. Yeah, they will not do it in mid-stage, which was like a... And I think that's why they waited like 2 days before the stage to announce what patch they were going, because everyone was like, oh, you announced it the last second. That's messed up. Well, I think behind curtains, because, you know, we live in a world where we feel like they should tell us everything they're discussing. Like, I'm pretty sure Blizzard wasn't just sitting around and think, oh, God, we're 2 days before stage four. What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, this is coming from, I mean, people, you act surprised, but this is coming from a league that went radio silent for like 4 months, 5 months, and really didn't tell anybody anything. I mean, it's not like they didn't tell the teams prior to, like, the teams are just like, well, we're just going to practice everything, guys, because we don't know what's going to happen. No, they knew. Come on. It's people.
Yeah, I think
chill
they had a good idea, and I'm sure it's because, like, Blizzard was probably trying to fix this bug, right? So they could play on the newest patch. But then it came down to it, and they're like, sorry, we can't fix it. It's not fixed yet. We don't know what's wrong. So then, okay, the powers that be were like, well, F it. We got to play. Like, the show must go on. But the reason, like, and I would agree. I think maybe on this case they could change it in mid, but it's the Hanzo rework that's going to completely, like, you can't switch mid-season to basically adding a brand new hero into the mix.
Yeah, that they're,
but it just
be
sucks
bringing
to play offline, right? Like, when they're streaming or at home and trying to play, like, whether it's practice or whatever, they're always going to have to play on a custom server. That way they can practice, you know, in the current form that the game is in. So it sucks because I'm sure a lot of them are pugging all the time or playing, whether it be streaming or just playing on their own time.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, like, team practice, you can get scrims in. But, yeah, I get what you're saying as far as just...
Yeah, and I didn't feel like, you know, I didn't feel like when, you know, before the Mercy, you know, the Mercy nerf, I didn't feel like that gameplay in that, you know, a little over a month, you know, after the new patch, I didn't feel like the gameplay suffered, you know? So I'm sure they're getting their practice in, and, you know, it's not like, you know.
No, I'm not saying they're not practicing. I'm just saying it just sucks for all that off time when they are enjoying and just playing the game. They're playing a different version of it, so it doesn't do dual purpose like it would, you know, right now.
Right.
It's not as effective.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and then, like I said, it sucks, but from a league standpoint, what are you going to do if there's a bug there that you're in the middle of a match, it freezes up, the payload freezes up?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I get why they made the decision that they made.
Yeah, I don't understand what the people complaining about. Now, if you wanted to complain that, you know, Blizzard should have been working around the clock to try to fix the bug, then I could maybe see your point there.
you know, like, hey, this is kind of a big deal. Like, you need to figure this out. This is your league that you're talking about. But it is what it is, so we won't be able to see the new Hanzo. I don't even know the ruling on playoffs.
I
don't think they're going to switch it up for playoffs.
I would be hard-pressed to believe that they would switch to a new patch right before
the
playoffs.
Like, I assume this is the patch for the rest of the season, right, including playoffs?
Yeah.
Like,
it should be.
There's no way that they go into this and then into playoffs with a brand new meta.
I would be willing to bet my second born son that they're not going to go to a new patch.
Yeah, so I just... We'll see. We'll see what's going on there, though. I mean, either way, you got Brigetta in the mix, which is always going to be exciting to watch. I think already, Brett, you said in our show chat that the three supports, two tanks, and a DPS was already spotted.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was the first. I mean, it was the first map. It was a Blizzard World, and you saw three support. You know, Mercy, Zen, Brigetta, with two tanks and a DPS, and that DPS was Widow. So I was like, oh, okay, well, this is gonna be fun. But I mean, it got a little bit more versatile. It just looks like she's gonna be kind of situational. You're gonna see her a lot, but it's not gonna be every map. It looks like, but I mean, it's the first day of
but it's
stage
still
four,
it's
so.
Still a major mix up. I mean, I was trying to think of like what teams would that are going to benefit from the more support, you know, triple support meta, because like, I mean, it's kind of cool because like it did, you saw on Moonbase, is that what it's actually called? Moonbase,
Lunar Moonbase, yeah.
Yeah, Lunar
Moon. Colony.
Yeah, okay, whatever. The moon map. The moon map.
The moon map.
Where the monkey lives. That one, you even saw that they were still using, like, the dive comp. So it's kind of cool to see where, like, in our normal comp, in, like, a competitive random play, it's like you still see every game kind of is trying to build the Brigetta thing. But on the pro level, you can still see that they prefer that dive comp for certain maps, and you're not constantly running the Brigetta build for now. Yeah. Let me just say this one point is because my fear is like that's all fun and games now until the other team pulls out the Brigetta, because the only counter to a Brigetta is pretty much stacking up another Brigetta against them.
Right, but you know I'm gonna welcome this change because, like you said, you know, teams are still playing dive comp, but in previous patches that's all you saw, and maybe the game got a little stale. But now, you know, she's going to be situational. You're not always going to see that dive comp, which is going to be a breath of fresh air, and in my opinion, you know, to be able to see like versatility.
Do you see any
strategy,
teams, like any specific team benefiting from lack of dive comp?
I mean, my first thought is our local team with the fuel. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, they're not really tank heavy, and this meta could get tank heavy. It'll be cool to see Coco. You know, you'll probably see him more. He's a bit of a fan favorite, you know, a Reinhardt legend. But, you know, I definitely think that that's their weak point. I don't even know why we're talking about a 6-24 team anymore, but
let's not talk about a 6-24 team. Let's talk about a 0-30 team.
Well,
with Shanghai Dragons. this could be like, so Shanghai and Dallas are playing tonight, 10 o'clock our time. This could be the time. Like, people are actually excited for this game because Dallas can be trash, and Shanghai, maybe this is the mix up, right? Like, this you're finally playing with somewhat of a wild card with this matchup.
this is the last time that the fuel get to be relevant. You know, in this league, is they cannot lose to Shanghai. Like, if
for
you're
their own
win
morale,
any game, yeah,
like,
if you're
for their
win,
own like morale, dude, you cannot lose this game.
You could lose every other game the rest of the season, but if you lose this one, you are that team that you know made Shanghai 1-39 and not 0-40.
No one,
as a Lions fan, Tim, you could probably relate.
Yeah. No,
like
I
how much you, it would have meant to get that one win.
You definitely like there. So there's a psychology thing with this, right? So as a fan of a team that did go 0-16, first time ever, in the season, like, you were ready to kill yourself. Like, you were like, for the love of God, I would go 1-15. It's okay, right? But as soon as the season ends, you're like, you kind of poke fun, right? We laugh so we don't cry type of,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, hey, we're the first ever to do this. Now, you probably don't want to do that in your inaugural season, though. Like, no team ever wants to go winless, but especially to be the first team to do it in the first season ever, like, to get that one scratched off your bingo card that quick, no one wants that. But again, nobody wants to be the team to lose to them either. And I don't think it's going to happen, though. I think, like, I know people give grief to the Fuel for not playing up to their par, right, for the season or for the league so far. But I think Shanghai is, like, on another low of bad.
Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, on the flip side, let's talk about the flip side. We talked about the teams that are irrelevant. But let's talk about, I mean, I got one team picked out here at the top of the table right now in New York Excelsior.
That's going to benefit?
Or NYXL. No, I think is going to get hurt. Because right now,
we're on
the same
page.
Yeah, and I've seen maps where Tracer isn't even played, and she and they got the best Tracer in the world, but they also have Libero and Pine that you may not see a whole lot or may not be as effective in this stage four now that maybe you see one or two DPS or one DPS and not two DPS. So I feel like that's a team right there that could get hurt. Now they have two of the best tanks in the world in Mecco and Mano, but they're going to have to find some versatility there in this new meta where Brigitte is going to be a must play. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of where they go in stage four, because this is going to be the patch that plays in the playoffs. They're currently the best team. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and those top teams, the one thing, I mean, not all the time. I don't want to, like, paint them with a brush here. But, like, New York, Uprising a little bit, I think especially Spitfire kind of relied on this a lot, were, like, their over-the-top DPS. I mean, think about New York. You have Pine. They still have Jonak, though, which is just insane. Like,
No
matter what meta, he's going to be...
I
think New York is going to have to adjust to this, but I don't know. I just love Jonak.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the glue, I guess, that holds them together in this new meta. You know, because he does so much damage as a support player. But, you know, you still got those three other DPS that are like, okay, well, where do I get them playing time? You know, like, where do they come into play? It's just going to shake things up a little bit.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I mean, it's just the first night of stage four with the new meta. Other things here, some things going on. Again, I know they're irrelevant as far as playoffs. They're not going to make it. But the Fuel did hire Arrow. Is that how you say his name?
No.
Are you saying no, as in that's not how you say it, or no, you don't know how to say that?
No, that's what I'm trying to figure out. You're asking.
Okay. A-E-R-O.
I thought Brett was super depressed now.
Oh, no,
that was a very judgmental no. And I'm like, well, then what is it?
I don't know.
Okay, I think it's Arrow. Either way, he's the Fusion University coach who they just won the American side of the Contender League. So they just went to the finals. They lost to British Hurricane, which is London's farm team. But nonetheless, the dude has skins on the wall already. So the Fuel were able to hire him away from Philadelphia. So we'll see what happens there. Their former coach, Kaikai, was also in the news, though, as Outlaw hires him. So we'll finally be able to see, right? Like, he was very defensive and kind of combative when people were trying to put the blame on him for the Dallas Fuel's woes.
He was definitely on the defensive. And we'll see, because that's a team right there in Houston. I mean, pretty much throughout the entire league, they've been a playoff team. But now they're on the outside looking in. I think they're like two games out of a sixth spot, if memory serves me right. So, you know, that would be definitely kind of a big comeback for him if he's able to get them into the playoffs. You know, kind of get the monkey off of his back, you know, for the Fuel's woes. So that's an interesting storyline going in.
And the other thing that's with the fuel that is just, man, I feel like every time there's a chance for something to work against the Dallas Fuel, there is, where effects, he is not coming back for the entire stage four. So a top DPS in the league and definitely the top DPS and player for Dallas Fuel is staying at home in Korea for the entirety of the stage.
Yeah, that's a kick in the gut, for sure. I mean, not even looking at this season, because I mean, if you're looking at it from a this season standpoint, maybe stage four is the best stage for him to stay out of. But looking at, you know, next season, you know, when the new league starts, you were hoping that he would be a big part of this thing, of this rebuild. I mean, he's one of the best DPS in the world, you know, the best player on the team. So to not see him play definitely sucks as a Fuel fan, because it just doesn't look like he's coming back.
And can I put a disclaimer out there? Okay.
What's up?
Because I know he's saying that, or what they're saying is it's mental health issues, right? Like he's going through something, it's a funk, and he doesn't want to come back, he can't play. Okay.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, you know, hey, God bless you. I hope the best. Obviously, health, mental health especially, comes before everything. And, you know, do what you got to do on that front. Okay? Is that a good disclaimer there? Do I have your blessing to continue with my next thought?
Go ahead.
If it's nothing, if it's really nothing, like, mentally wrong, and the mental issue is that he's just over being on a third-to-last team, then that is sorry on his part.
Yeah, and I'm,
and
you know, just
it's not unheard of in esports for players to be divas and be like, "I'm done. I'm not playing."
Yeah, the cynic in me, and the cynic in me is with you, Tim. Like, if that's where you stand, because that's just what it feels like to me. It's this team is 6-24 right now with no chance of making the playoffs. Doesn't really look like things are going to get better in stage four for the team. And it just looks like he's abandoning an already just like woeful team.
It's a real convenient time for him to have some mental issues that won't allow him to play.
And yeah, it questions me really as a
hard to like call him out on something like that when they announce it that way. Right. So you just like, got to go with it. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Like it just looked, the timing couldn't be worse.
From a competitive standpoint, like a true competitor would just want to get better, you know, just like get better, you know, carry your team. But I mean, it's just, you're a professional. Like if this is mental health, you know, I apologize, but it just doesn't feel like it. It just feels like, yeah, I would rather be doing something else with my time, guys, than be here.
Well,
I mean, it just feels like
point.
He's leaving and just leaving the
discussed.
Team to be a meme, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely a point that has to at least be brought up, right? When when you're a top player in the league and everyone tells you that every night, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, hey, I'm going to go home to Korea for vacation. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to come back. Like, but don't worry, it's just, you know, I got things going on, and don't worry about it. It's like, it's convenient. That's all I'm saying. Now, again, if it's real, then by all means, dump this entire last 5 minutes and we're just big jerks and we'll move on.
Yeah, I mean, he had a support system here. Didn't he have his girlfriend or fiance or wife or whatever?
She lived here. I think
she
just
was here often.
Yeah, she just visited for like a month.
Okay.
But I don't think she lives in LA.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. I don't know effects, personal dating, home life. I don't get those emails, but...
We should. Well, I want all access.
He wasn't at the meet and greet. I can tell you that. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Meet and greet was actually pretty cool, too. Before we move on, I did go last Thursday, and I met with the Dallas Fuel. Siegel? What a guy. What a guy. This is the problem, being quote-unquote media and then talking to the players, because you never want them to leave the team now. Even though.
Yeah. And we were just a couple episodes or whatever it was just talking about like, he just needs to go. He's not involved. And yeah, it's like, now it's like, don't leave us.
Yeah. But then he, but then he said hi to me. And all of a sudden I'm like, okay.
The world changed.
You're smitten.
You can stay.
Hands in love.
All right, so that is stage four for Overwatch League. It's going on right now. You know, you can let us know what you think's going on with stage four, what you think your predictions are. I think the top is going to still pretty much be the same, though. All meta being, I think you're going to still see Boston. You're still going to see New York. Those, I don't think the meta is going to. I think you might see the bottom half of the standings actually have more of a mix up with this new meta than you will the top half.
Yeah, you're really just singling out 5 and 6. That's where all the shuffling is going to be, IMO.
Yeah.
It could be, there's 4 teams pretty much playing for 2 spots. So that, it's going to be a fun end of the stage 4. You know, worth watching. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be good time. Fun. Good times had by all for sure. So again, at the Center Ring is our Twitter. And what I also want to hear is your thoughts on our next topic, which is what is missing in esports. Again, I'll set this up one more time. Over the weekend, a buddy that I do my weekly radio show with asked the question, what is missing in esports? Like, if he wanted to become involved, if he wanted to invest something, not so much just, hey, here's my money, I'm investing in a team type of investment, but like, what could he think of outside of the box and then bring to the table, right? And it kind of got me thinking, and I'm, you know, we can go over what all of ours are thinking. I know we had a listener on Twitter, Sam, ask the question, or what he was saying is, I'm pulling it up right now, but it was like organized leagues or organized, yeah, I think he said leagues. I'm pulling it up right now.
It's a live look at Tim pulling up Twitter.
Live. Over Twitch podcasting. It says here, Samuel Martin says, forgive me if this is already exists. I've only been following esports for under 2 years, but maybe some specific governing bodies. There you go.
Pleb.
Rather than one that does all games in a certain league. Now, because you've only been following for 2 years, Sam, I will say you're not alone in that. In fact, people have been asking of that in esports since the dawn of time. You actually do see some of that now. It's kind of becoming a little bit... So it's weird. As esports is getting more popular, the developers are wanting to pay a lot more attention to their games, right? So you get, you have, like, one extreme would be Overwatch and League of Legends, right? Blizzard and Riot treat their leagues with an iron fist. Like, they don't let anything go through without them... first. I mean, even Blizzard told the Fusion University, you can't wear your jerseys because it has your initials on it. F-U.
F-U.
Like, that's how strict Blizzard can be at times, which, you know, hey, I think it's funny, but at the same time, I'm a grown-ass adult with a corporate job, and I understand how that works. So you can't do it, right?
Like, Team YP can't put what their, you know...
Yeah,
you
right. Know, I mean, it's Team just like YP it's... couldn't say they were Team U Porn, and it, hey, sometimes you gotta listen to the dollar and what they say.
Then you have Counter-Strike.
And exactly. And then you have Counter-Strike, which is on the other end of the spectrum, where Valve has basically is extremely hands-off except for 2 tournaments a year, which are the majors. Those are the only tournaments actually ran by Valve. All the others are just thrown out there by ESL or Faceit or iBuyPower or what's the one coming up? Beam or whatever it's called. The one that they claim the advertising isn't paid for
Blast
yet.
Pro Series.
Blast Pro Series. There you go. I knew it started with a Beam.
The only other thing that Valve is involved in is the IBP ban. I know of nothing else. That's the only thing
right.
I
well,
know about.
And so here's, yeah, so
2 the, tournaments in the band.
And I don't know which one's better, right? Would you rather have a company like Blizzard where like they're really into their game and they care about it and they advertise and they put money into it, but at the same time that comes at the cost of some freedom, right? Or you have Valve where they kind of are hands-off, but they also will give their input, but then they also kind of change the game without thinking how it's going to affect the pro scene and... I'm sure there's a balance somewhere. My main point, though, to Sam is that they do exist. It's just that governing body just happens to also be the checks and balances.
You'll never see anything across all games, right? Because they're all different developers, and so they're going to be run on their own.
That's
so
right.
You won't see any continuity there.
No, you're never going to have one governing body over all of the games, because that would mean like Blizzard and Valve would have to get together and agree that we're going to listen to this guy. And developers
kind of ties into mine a little bit.
Aren't going
like,
to do
one
that.
Of mine. Like I had a couple, and one of them was just like the players union side, which I feel like kind of ties into this a little bit in the terms of like getting some sort of continuity there. But with Counter-Strike, for example, players have like no say in tournaments, right? It's just here's when they are, here's the schedule, you either make it, you don't, like, and if you're a top team, you have to do it in order for like rankings purposes and all that other good stuff. So I feel like just to have some sort of traditional seasons in some of these esports, like you're going to see in Overwatch right now, I think would just really help in that sense. With Counter-Strike, it's just, it feels like year round. I mean, sometimes I just lose track of what's even on or what I'm watching or what game is tied to what. And I feel like if the players could kind of band together and make it a little bit more uniform, it'll only benefit them. I'm just surprised that it hasn't been done.
Did you see the tweet from Sir Scoots during the week?
Which one? He has like 1,000.
Very true. Esports top 5 for 2018 so far. So far. Okay? For 2018. Dota was number one.
Oh, is this number of tournaments you're talking about?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's prize pool. Right. But it shows you what it is. Yeah. So in Dota,
okay, yeah.
Prize pool for 2018, 8.8 million so far. With so many players, blah, blah, blah. The events that Dota 2 has had, 33. League of Legends is number 3. I'll get to CS:GO go at number 2 in a second, but I just, for, you know, setting the stage here. League of Legends is number 3 with 51 events played. Hearthstone is 4th with 30. Call of Duty is 5th with 19 events so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
CS:GO is number 2, 7.1 million in prizes. Okay, so that's why it's organized by money. 245 events.
That's a shame. That
I don't even how.
I mean, that's embarrassing. I mean,
that's probably across like every freaking league.
It is. It is though, because like their players are also. It says here, Counter-Strike players 2,248, Dota 442, League 819. So I mean, it is. It just, there's a lot more Counter-Strike in the world than in the others, right? Mm. But still.
That's insane.
Yeah, and you guys have already talked about this, but my number one, you know, I guess what can make esports better, but particularly Counter-Strike, is what you guys said, league structure. Like, you know, schedule stuff way in advance. Like, we have beat this dead horse with CS:GO. Since I started the show with you, Tim, nobody knows anything. Like they do majors, you know, it just feels like last minute, nothing's really structured. And it sucks because Counter-Strike, you know, is one of the most popular esports. Like it deserves, their players deserve structure and they suffer for it. Like they don't get paid as much. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't feel like they get
on the top
as
end. Like, well, that's what a union would help with too, and, right? Is like player salaries.
And they're constantly complaining. Like I haven't been home in like 2 months. You know, I've been on the. I feel it's like it's sad. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to feel sorry for them because they're playing video games for a living. But at the same time, it's
work.
It's work. Yeah.
I think Device just bought like a $20,000 watch not that long ago, so I don't feel too bad.
You know, they love their watches.
No, okay, I changed my mind.
He has like 400 pair of Yeezys and stuff, so. Financially, I think that the top-end players are making their money. They're making their dough one way or the other, whether it's through their own sponsors.
The issue, though, is the top-end and the lower-end players are playing the same amount of games, right? Where you would think as a top-end, eventually, at what point do you not have to go to every podunk tournament that invites you with a $100,000 prize pool?
Well, like,
but these organizations
matters for like rankings, though, too, right? Like, you can't miss a ton of events.
Well, I know, but that's part of the issue, the way Counter-Strike is structured. Where,
oh, it's a shit show.
Yeah, like, where with no League, and it's a family show. Anuj, you broke.
Sorry.
We gotta erase gotta erase it. It's been 0 days since we said
I didn't know
it.
We were doing the ninja ratings.
Oh.
Look, bro. If we got 1% of what Ninja gets, I'll never swear in my life again. But what were we talking about? That it was a
jar.
Yeah, it was just the Counter-Strike scene is a mess, pretty much, right? So structure everything there. My thing, and I guess with what's missing in esports, you can kind of look at it as microscopic as you want or a very high overview, right? You could say player union, structure, things like that. But as far as like what I was thinking is, you know, if I was trying to bring something to a team, if I'm a door-to-door salesman and I go up to a team and say, hey, this is how I can benefit you, something I would bring in is a player's, I don't know the official, a life coach, player's manager. I don't know like what the official job title is, but someone to take these players and kind of coach them up on how to act, how to adjust to what they are now becoming.
I feel like you're seeing a little bit more of that though, right?
Like
compared to what we used to see.
Yeah, I think Astralis have a traveling psychiatrist, or really? You know, kind of like life coach.
Even like a life coach, a counselor, whatever you want to call it now. Somebody where the players can go to, and they have a comfortable relationship to be like, look, I'm not here to make sure that you're practicing 12 hours a day or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. It's
yeah,
you know, someone says something to you on Twitter, you need to know how to respond, or you need to call someone to vent about it so you don't blow up to them on social media. Something like there. Like, you always hear in professional sports, right, the rookie meetings. When a player gets signed, they go into a rookie meeting, and basically it says, don't tweet this, don't take a picture of that, don't do this in public, right? Don't spend your money on this. You know, if your third cousin calls you, ignore it. Like, they kind of tell you, like, hey, you're about to make a lot of money. You're about to become very popular. You know, these are the do's, these are the don'ts, and this is how you should handle yourself representing a brand. And I know some organizations do that, but I feel like some organizations really don't.
It's hard, though, even with that stuff, just because you see it in traditional sports. How many bankruptcies do you see, you know? I mean,
right, well, and like I said, yeah, you're not going to, you know, you're not gonna
but
bat 100.
I'm sure
but
old teams, at least in pro sports, have that option available.
Yeah,
to
at least
have
the option.
Like,
I mean,
yeah.
Look at situations like XQC, right? Where after everything, he felt the need to go on his Twitch channel and do this big show of woe is me, and then he'd go, I'm sorry, but then he'd wish, you know, whatever. He'd have this emotional roller coaster. It's like, could that have been prevented if someone just kind of coached him a little bit? Now, like I said, I know you're not going to hit with everyone. And when, you know, they're at home on stream or whatever, you're not going to be able to protect everything they say. But I just feel like that's something that esports is missing more on the player's relationship level.
Y'all have anything from an in-game standpoint?
Stats. If you were just looking from like a spectator view, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I would say stats. I would like to see more stats. I think even Monte Cristo once said that it's kind of, and I'm very roughly paraphrasing what he was saying, but he was kind of saying it sucks that with Overwatch League, you don't see as much content because they're the only ones who have the stats the way they do. You know, you can't just look up stats in Overwatch and see every little detail. The only details you're seeing is what Blizzard is kind of releasing out to you. I know Winston Labs has pretty good stats. However they get it, I have no idea. But they're just not as accessible, right?
Yeah, and it's neat to see. Like, I just recently really got into the NBA 2K League. And I know it's easier in sporting games to have, like, advanced stats
there
and what have you. But, I mean, just having it in Overwatch, or, you know, having it more in Counter-Strike, just on the UI, makes it feel more like traditional sports to me, which is pretty cool. Like, it would be pretty cool to have. So, I mean, I'm all for it, you know, to see more of it.
One thing for me on a spectating standpoint that I always thought would be awesome, I don't know how you would do it with bandwidth issues and things like that, but I have like favorite players more than I have favorite teams personally. So if I was viewing, I would like to be able to watch a specific player play in game. So again, I don't know how that would work, but like being able to follow your favorite player, choose between,
you know,
like
E-League has done that a few times when they host tournaments. In my opinion, it's never really been so smooth as I hope. Like, it always seems like there's some kind of issues with it, but I do agree. It'd be neat sometimes to be the observers, right? Since everyone kind of complains about them all the time anyways.
Especially like for me in Counter-Strike or, you know, anybody with their favorite player in a game, like I would just like to watch how they play the game, what they're doing. Like, you would, again, you know, you're watching a basketball game. I can follow Dirk the whole game and see what he's doing when he's on the floor and how he's playing the game, how he's positioning himself. Counter-Strike, you don't really get that. Other esports, you don't really get that.
Yeah, you're really only seeing one perspective, the player that they're following.
Yeah, the game is shown the way they want you to watch it. So, I don't know. I think it would just be cool.
The other thing that I think esports is missing out on is writers. Like, actually good writers. Ones that write pieces and do stories. I know you get your Richard Lewis here and there, and Decay sometimes writes an article that is an actual article. For the most part, man, there's such lazy writing. And I get it, because half the time it's just college students writing it for free. So I'm not like, you know, saying quit your day job, because obviously, you know.
I want to talk to your editor.
Right. No, it's like, you know, people got dreams. We do a podcast every week where like two people listen to it. So believe me, I understand what where they're coming from. But, like, I read, like, websites like The Athletic. I don't know if you guys are subscribed to The Athletic. But basically, they gathered all these, like, Peter Kings. And, you know, I'm partial to the guys I work with, like Bob Sturm and all them. But they have, like, these national writers. And, like, their stories are so... They're stories. They're just not, like, quick little recaps of a match. Or, like you pull up some stories and they're seriously, like, a paragraph long. And you're like, that counts? Like, I saw one website was hiring, and they were like, looking for a writer to write 500-word articles. I'm like, all you need is 500 words? Like,
so you're looking for some clickbait stuff.
Yeah, like, I can do 500-word articles. Like, hell, what do you need? I can handle that. I thought you were wanting some actual constructive criticism here. Okay, I can handle 500 words. So that's what I think is writers and players' relationship. I think that would help kind of project. I don't know. Like I said, I feel like, but I think that's what it is, right? What we've all kind of said, it's nothing that would just completely change the game of esports, but it's just doing those little things in the background that would help.
It would
almost the longevity of it, I think.
It would increase fandom. Like if maybe you had one guy that followed one team.
Yeah.
Like, it would increase the fandom for that team, because I feel like that's kind of what esports is lacking is like a team fandom. You know, it's more so like a news shed. It's individual players like clinging on to that rather than, you know, clinging on to a team. So maybe it helps there. I don't know.
We'll see, guys. We're just three guys doing a podcast trying to change the world. That's all it is.
Maybe that should be the new name for our podcast. Just three guys.
Three guys doing a podcast. So that's it. Let's get into some e-news, though. Shall we? Not a whole lot of e-news. British Hurricane, I mentioned earlier in the show, British Hurricane ended up defeating the Union University in the Overwatch Atlantic Showdown for the Contenders League.
F-U.
a lot of people got upset that Blizzard didn't allow them to wear their jerseys. Like, really upset about it.
Yeah, as if Richard Lewis needed another reason to kind of jump onto Blizzard like that. I was like, see you guys, I'm telling you.
Yeah, look at the power hungry people, man.
Yeah.
I think some of it's a bit with Richard Lewis. I just think he likes kicking the hornet's nest. But at the same time, like, I mean, they just told him not to wear their jerseys that had FU on it. I mean, you know, it doesn't. I don't really care either way. I think it would have been funny if they got to wear it, but. I understand that I also have to tuck my shirt in at work, even if I don't agree with it. So, hey, that's life. One thing here, esports, there's always that, you know, campaign going on for the Olympics. Esports will be at the Asian Games for 2018. Oddly enough, though, well, not oddly enough, but no first-person shooters. You got League of Legends, Hearthstone, StarCraft II, Clash Royale.
Why?
I don't know.
Those are not even the good ones.
PES like... Soccer.
All right, we're setting us up to fail.
What? Arena PES of Valor. Soccer?
Yeah.
All right, I'm out. Yeah. I need to talk to the Olympic Committee.
I get
like,
League
right
of Legends,
now.
I get Hearthstone, and I get StarCraft. But,
PES Soccer? It's not even like the biggest
esport.
They're
going to get like off-brand soccer teams now. Whatever. I think it's ridiculous that people want esports in the Olympics anyways, but that's just my opinion. So, hopefully this will backfire on them and it won't work. One thing that I think is pretty interesting, the Supreme Court ruled that sports betting will now be up to the states. So now states can regulate it. Which, again, one of the other hosts that I do the radio show with that I produce asked me all about this betting thing. He's like, is esports big into betting? I'm like, is esports big into betting?
Like, let me tell you a story.
How much time do you have for me to tell you about esports and betting? All right. I was like, it's...
Well, Mark Cuban and all these guys have chimed in on it. So if you have any interest out there,
it's...
I think Jacob Wolf with ESPN did some interviews with him and got him to speak out on it.
It's huge, right? I mean, we've all betted on games back when it was a little bit more on the up and up. I kind of stopped because... Between the skin betting websites and just every other thing, they just got super shady because none of it was regulated here in the States. I know you have Betway and all those other ones in Europe that you can bet real money on, but here in the States, there was really nothing that was trustworthy and nothing that you would give your money to. Well, now there's going to be actual regulation, which is pretty dope. Do you think Texas is going to do it?
See, that's where my heartache comes in. Yeah, because I don't think our home state is going to, you know, be progressive and jump on this.
Maybe
we can
find a way to bet online then.
Yeah, I'll have to go to Oklahoma. Ugh.
Hey man, it won't take much to get me to go to WinStar.
Maybe we do Lone Star Park over here. And make that like a sports book.
Yeah, that's true. I always find it weird on a non esports topic to talk about Texas for a second. It's weird that Texas they don't allow gambling or casinos, right? So we always got to drive to Louisiana or Oklahoma to go to a casino. Yet we have Lone Star Park, which is horse betting, and we also do the Texas Lottery. So, like, they're not completely against it. I don't know why they're against casinos, but so we'll see.
Why do we hate money?
Like, I'm kind of holding my breath for Texas to do esports or just betting on sports, but it is a big deal for esports because, I mean, that's just another avenue of people to watch. Some people will just watch for the betting, and that's okay. You know? It's okay to just watch something
called basketball, NFL. Yeah, fantasy football. Like,
dude, the NFL got popular after that stuff.
Yeah.
Like real money kind of popular. They were already popular, obviously, but once betting and all that got involved and fantasy football and all this took off, man, the game grew like crazy.
And to update you on ESL Dallas... I don't want to get too far into it. We'll cover everything in a recap episode once the weekend's done and everything. We will be out there Saturday and Sunday. Anuj and I will be out there. Brett's commitment to the show. He might be out there Friday.
I will be
not
there,
working.
Guys.
You know.
Oh, I'm taking care of a baby. But yeah, I mean,
put your baby
I'll
in
be
a
there
little
Saturday
baby
Sunday.
Bjorn. Take him with you.
Will they allow me to just take a stroller there and just kind of push him around just the media pass?
Put him
on?
In a media. Like, put him in thing? The media lounge and just
Hey, simple. You're can you? No. I'll go up to get right. I'm like, you're not doing anything
can
right
you watch
now.
This
can
baby
you,
for a second?
Can you watch my kid?
I gotta go interview Freiberg. Can you just watch my kid for like a second?
Yeah, make him a prodigy. You know, kind of teach him. You know, he's still trying to develop motor skills. You know.
Get right. Just in case you're listening, I love you. Don't listen to these tools. We will be there to support you 100%.
I want him to watch my kid. I love Get Right. I wouldn't pick anybody that I hate to watch my kid.
You should be studying the game right now.
So, yes, we will be up there, though. So come say hi to us if you're there. Hit us up on Twitter, at The Center Ring, or Discord. Just go to our website, tcr.gg. Teams that are out, though, already. Well, let me just pull this up here. I'll look at it this way. You have Nip, Greyhound, MVP, and Sharks. They were the first one to be eliminated. Sorry about you, Nip boys. They had a tough road, though, man.
Nip slip.
Like, I don't think you can really fault them for being eliminated early. We even said in the preview
Optic,
that
dude, it was
they
Optic.
Had the toughest. Yeah, there were people that you said, out of all the teams you didn't want beating them, beat them. How do you feel?
It's tough, man.
Config says it's back.
Well, like, Optic wasn't looking great themselves. They got smoked 16-3 to Astralis in the first round. So, as a Nip fan, I'm feeling, you know, pretty good at that point. Like, oh, nice. They just got worked. Like, it's just, man, I don't know if y'all saw any of the game, but Jugi had one of the best, Jugi? How do you pronounce it? I don't know. Had one of the cooler op plays where he got run boosted over the wall on Banana. It was just a really nice
Damn,
play.
I missed that one.
I mean, Optic played well and Nip got smoked, so that sucks. So
and then the other
all
two
of our teams are just on the bench.
Yeah, for real. Because speaking of Cloud9, they were eliminated today by Heroic, who's actually been playing very well. And then NRG eliminated today by Mouse Sports, rather. That kind of sucks. I was kind of really rooting for NRG, man, with the year that they've been having. And, you know, everyone just always gave them crap saying, oh, it's online, wait till you get to a LAN. And then every time they get to a LAN, they lose. But I really don't feel like it's their fault that they're losing. They're playing against, you know, top five teams, and they're losing. So they put up a good fight against Mouse Sports. They ended up losing 2-0, but a 16-14, and, you know, 16-10 on Nuke, so take that for what you will.
They were going to be in trouble either way, though, because it's like if they were going to play Mouse or they were going to play FaZe, which I don't understand how that... that's rough.
Yeah,
it's rough.
It sucks that in the loser bracket round two of Group A, you had the number two American team, or NA team, and then the number one seeded European team. Like, no matter whoever lost that match and got eliminated... It sucks that they were playing each other so early on in a loser's bracket, nonetheless.
Dude, Heroic, the NA killer. Put NRG into the loser's bracket.
NRG and Cloud9.
Took Cloud9 home.
They're looking good, though. Heroic, Freiburg, they are hitting strides. But we'll talk more about that next week once ESL Dallas wraps up. You know, like I said, we'll be there. We'll talk to the players. We'll get some insight. Keep an eye on our YouTube page because for interviews... we might play them on the show, but typically we just will go like on Saturday, get all the audio, come home, and I'll upload them on our YouTube page and all that. So keep an eye on our YouTube for interviews and everything throughout the weekend. So unless something juicy comes up, and then we'll post it pretty much immediately. But, you know, no one comes to us for breaking news, so we'll see what happens. But that just about does it. Where's the outro? Here's the outro. That just about does it here for episode 5 of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Again, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring, our website, tcr.gg. You can find all of our information there, Twitter, Discord, YouTube, Twitch. Everything is up on there, so make sure you follow all of that. Make sure you retweet the show. Anything to make sure that we live on into perpetuity.
And the important things, let us know. Is it Moral or Yanni?
It's not important. It's both. And I'll fight anyone that says otherwise. I'll fight you at ESL Dallas. Which, again, if you're going, let us know, because we'd love to meet our listener. Or listeners. Maybe there's two of you. I don't know. I don't think my mom will be at ESL Dallas, so it's probably just one listener. We'll see. But until next week, where we might be doing two episodes, I'm not sure. We'll figure it out. But we will see you then. For Nuge, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you next time.